produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Here on the program, we focus on medical and patient issues. And today we have a special breaking news piece on the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment that is due for debate on the U.S. House floor this week. We'll speak with Congressman Maurice Hinchey, only on Normal's Audio Stash. Also today, a rare and frank medical discussion about pot with Dr. Stephen Karsh, who will tell us about marijuana and our hearts. Music on the program today features Government Mule from the Hempilation 2 album, and on patient perspectives, we'll hear from Americans for Safe Access board member Don Duncan, who also assists in the operation of 3 California medical marijuana facilities. We'll wrap things up today with our first weekly web poll and our free stuff giveaway, all here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back here to the Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've gathered up some more fresh green audio for you today. Take a moment to join Normal at NORML.org. Let's get to our first segment today, a Normal Audio Stash special report on the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment in the U.S. House of Representatives. Our news special today here on the Audio Stash, amendment to defund federal prosecution of medical cannabis likely to be voted on this week. Responding to growing conflict between states and the federal government over the issue of medicinal cannabis, Representatives Maurice Hinchey, a Democrat of New York, and Dana Rohrabacher, a Republican from California, are expected to offer an amendment to Congress later this week that would forbid the U.S. Justice Department and the Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, from spending any federal tax dollars to target and prosecute patients who possess or use medicinal marijuana in compliance with their state law. We spoke with Normal senior policy analyst Paul Armentano.
80% of the American public supports the physician-supervised use of cannabis as a medicine, and they do not wish to see their tax dollars wasted by those in Congress who would target the sick and dying in their overzealous war on drugs. Last year, 161 members of Congress voted in favor of the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment, but we need 57 more members to join with them to stop Washington's war on patients.
That was Normal senior policy analyst Paul Armentano. Of those who voted in favor of the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment last year, 15 were Republicans and 128 were Democrats. The House's only independent congressman, Vermont Representative Bernard Sanders, also voted in favor of the amendment. The 161 House votes in favor of the patient protection provision was the highest total ever recorded in a congressional floor vote to liberalize marijuana laws. Proponents expect to build on that number this year. The sponsor of the bill, Democratic Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York, took time to speak with us today. We spoke by phone this afternoon. Congressman Hinchey, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Tell us what you're trying to do with this amendment.
Well, this is about two issues, basically. It's about people who are sick and suffering and having been prescribed alleviation from those conditions, to some extent at least, by a physician, a licensed physician. And the ability of people who are suffering from AIDS, for example, or cancer or other illnesses or disease, from which they can be alleviated by the prescribed use of marijuana for medicinal purposes, and that prescribed use coming from a licensed physician in those states. And secondly, it's about states' rights. It's about the ability of our states under the Constitution to regulate medical practice and to allow physicians to engage in that medical practice in accordance with the laws and regulations set forth in those specific states. We have 11 states where marijuana has been prescribed for medicinal use under the jurisdiction of a licensed physician, and that has occurred either by passage of an act through the legislature of those states or by referenda. In other words, the specific vote of the individual voters in those states. And what we're confronting is an act by the federal government which is saying that the laws of those states are not going to be allowed to be carried out, and that the federal government is going to intervene and prevent those laws from being carried out and preventing people who are in those conditions of illness, suffering of various kinds, from having those conditions alleviated under the supervision of a licensed physician who is prescribing marijuana for medicinal purposes. And, of course, we also know, based upon a number of studies, but one that was done by the Institute of Medicine under the National Academy of Sciences, that marijuana has these medicinal properties and can alleviate conditions, particularly people suffering from cancer and things of that nature. So that's basically what we're doing here. We're trying to allow states to carry out their authority under the Constitution rather than allowing the federal government to usurp their rights in a way that is contrary to the Constitution.
Now, Congressman, the last time there was a vote on this, there was sparse Republican support. And why do you think Republicans are so reluctant to support legislation in this direction?
Well, I think that there is some right-wing opposition, some sort of neoconservative opposition to this idea of openness and freedom to alleviate conditions in patients. It's hard really to understand, and I certainly couldn't justify it. I don't know how they would justify it. But I think there's also some fear of people having charges made against them that they're in favor of people using marijuana, when specifically we're just noting that scientific studies have shown clearly that marijuana has medicinal purposes and that there are people who have very serious conditions that are putting them into various forms of discomfort, including very severe pain, from which they can be relieved by the use of marijuana under the prescription of a licensed physician. And that that kind of activity is an activity that under the Constitution is provided to the states. The states regulate medicine, and they should be allowed to continue to do so, and the federal government should not be intervening in that right.
Finally today, what can voters do to support this amendment?
Well, the amendment is coming up either today or tomorrow, so we don't have an awful lot of time. Anyone who hears this right now, for example, can put a call into their representative in the Congress and say to that representative, we would like the federal government to butt out of this. This is something that the states should be able to decide by themselves. And that decision of the states by themselves is perfectly consistent with states' rights provisions in the Constitution. And the federal government's intervening in situations like that, like this rather, is perfectly inconsistent with states' rights in the Constitution. So we're facing a situation here which is something that really needs to be corrected. It really needs to be corrected because there are a lot of people suffering who can have that suffering alleviated, reduced, and possibly even extend their life as a result of the alleviation of that suffering. And also there's a basic element here of constitutionality, which has to be addressed in the appropriate way. If you allow the federal government to start intervening in the rights of states, the next question is, well, when does that stop? What will be the next intervention? And I think that it's pretty clear here that the federal government is overreaching. It's doing things for which it has no responsibility, and that these responsibilities should be left to the individual states.
Congressman Hinchey, thanks for joining us here today, and the best of luck keeping dry there in Washington.
Okay, Chris, we'll do that. Thank you very much.
You can learn more about the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. We have links on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Thanks to Congressman Hinchey for speaking with us about this important piece of legislation. More information is up on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Next, we'll listen in on a talk from Dr. Stephen Karch, a cardiologist who shares his insights and research regarding cannabis and the heart. Science, again, seems to be hitting into a brick wall when doctors try to answer simple questions. This time, can smoking cannabis cause a heart attack in some people or even anyone? Let's listen in on Dr. Karsh's surprising information.
Well, 12 million is a big number, but it's not as big as the number of people that have coronary artery disease or vascular disease. Vascular disease, CVD, coronary or cardiovascular disease, is the leading cause of death in America. 60 million people, in other words, five times as many as dope smoke, there are people smoking dope, have one form or another of cardiovascular disease. They've either had a heart attack, they've had a stroke, or they are living with the sequela of a heart attack or a stroke. What does this mean? Well, what it means is there's a huge overlap. Just by chance alone, it's highly probable somebody who has a heart attack will have smoked marijuana at some point or other, or maybe even when they've had the heart attack. What kind of evidence do we have that marijuana could cause heart attacks? Well, what we have are case reports, and these have been appearing kind of regularly since the early 1970s. I'm really sad John Morgan isn't here today because he goes off on a pretty good tirade about this sort of thing. But the reports do appear, and they appear in respectable terms. But really what they are describing is, in fact, the coincidence of somebody having a heart attack and somebody smoking dope. Now, maybe the marijuana is responsible for the heart attack. Maybe it's not. The only way to tell is to do a clinical trial, or, barring clinical trials, because you'd have to involve a lot of people, an epidemiologic study. So a case report, which can be really legitimate. There was a very impressive one in the American Journal of Forensic Science, or the International Journal of Forensic Science last year, described four people who keeled over and died while taking a toke. And I think it was pretty impressive. And I think it was responsible for their deaths. But we'll explain why I think that in a minute. Barring the clinical trials, all you can do is an epidemiologic study. And those have been done. We know that in controlled settings, people that haven't smoked marijuana before develop tachycardia, high rapid heart rate, and develop increased systolic. That's the first number in your blood pressure, but not diastolic pressure. But we also know that as they smoke marijuana regularly, this goes away. Both the change in the blood pressure and the change in the pulse rate are not significant in regular marijuana smokers. That's not the problem. The problem is your heart is connected to your brain. Maybe an indirect connection, but believe me, all the nerves that control how the heart, blood vessels, and muscle behave come from the brain. Marijuana affects the brain. And now we also know that there are marijuana receptors in the heart, both type CB1 and CB2. It's virtually impossible in a human study to separate out the two components, whether we're talking about the heart or the brain telling the heart what to do. So in the good news category, we have reports in the experimental literature in the last year that in spontaneously hypertensive rats, in other words, rats that develop high blood pressure automatically, if you block the breakdown of anandamide, which is the classic marijuana receptor binding chemical, then you know what happens? The blood vessels dilate. That means that there's more anandamide present. It causes blood vessels to dilate. That's a good thing, probably, except in some certain athletic situations. But what's the bad news that goes with it? Because there always is. Another study just published showed that THC decreases the ability of the heart to contract, and it decreased coronary blood flow. Those are very bad things. In humans, one large epidemiologic study found that there was no association between marijuana smoking and cardiovascular disease or early death from any cause. But the bad news is that in another large study, people who already had coronary artery disease developed angina quicker and symptoms quicker if they smoked marijuana. And there have been several studies repeating the findings of both the good study and the bad study. So which one do you want to pick?
That was Dr. Steve Karsh in a talk to Normal in April of this year. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Next, in our weekly Patient Perspectives segment, we'll hear from Don Duncan from Americans for Safe Access. Americans for Safe Access has served patients across the country and is solely committed to advocating for sick Americans seeking therapeutic relief from cannabis.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you to the other panelists as well for such good information. My name is Don Duncan. I'm on the board of directors of Americans for Safe Access, and I'm also a part of the team that operates three medical cannabis dispensing collectives here in California, one in Berkeley, one in West Hollywood, and one just now opened in the heart of Hollywood in Los Angeles itself. In that capacity, with ASIN as a dispensary operator, I've had the opportunity to work with cities and counties all over the state of California on implementation issues, and I can tell you across the state, local governments are grappling with what to do with medical cannabis dispensaries. It's unprecedented in American law how to handle an institution that is illegal under federal law, is very vaguely legal under state law, and has no local guidelines whatsoever to start with. I am happy to say that if you can measure the success of Proposition 215 and of our medical cannabis movement here in California by the expansion of safe access, then it's been a tremendous success. We've gone from one dispensary in San Francisco to over 200 statewide. And I'm especially encouraged that we're seeing now a long-awaited proliferation of dispensaries in Southern California, in Los Angeles, in the Inland Empire east of Los Angeles County, even in San Diego, which is arguably the most hostile jurisdiction in the state of California for medical cannabis right now. And that's encouraging. I remember for the longest time there were only dispensaries in Northern California, and it seemed like L.A. never would come along. And now it feels crowded in L.A., and so I think that's a tremendous success. And I don't just mean the traffic either. There are several reasons. In fact, there may be a whole range of reasons why dispensaries are proliferating so quickly. And perhaps the most important is that it's just an idea whose time has come. You know, it's time in this process for those dispensaries. But, of course, the factor that's driving in the Southern California and the rural expansion of patients is the increase in the number of new patients in California. We have perhaps 100,000 patients. Estimates vary. At the conference in Santa Barbara 2 weeks ago, there was an estimate of somewhere between 130 and 338,000 patients in California, only about 25% of whom actually have safe access to medical cannabis at this time. And so that huge increase in the number of patients is driving the proliferation of dispensaries in areas where previously the communities were not so supportive. There's also other factors that I think are relevant to the capacity of the dispensaries to serve their patients, and one I think is a dissatisfaction, and I don't necessarily mean that in the harshest sense of the word, but a dissatisfaction amongst the patients with what they have. There are some dispensaries, some patients who are dissatisfied with the services and with the medicine that they can find at the dispensaries, and that will often lead them to strike out on their own. And one of the exciting trends we're seeing right now is that individual patients, previously people receiving services, are getting educated, they're getting motivated, and opening their own dispensaries. And that is exactly, it's a wonderful step forward. I actually talk to at least three or four people every week who want to do that. And we've come now to the point where some of those people have actually opened up and are operating, and now they are helping to train new dispensary operators from their patient base to open new dispensaries. And that is grassroots organizing in its purest form, I think, is people just going out and taking the initiative and doing it. Of course, also driving that proliferation of dispensaries is financial opportunity, and that's both real financial opportunity and perceived financial opportunity. There's a common misconception that anyone who opens up their doors as a dispensary will, of course, be a millionaire by the next week, and that is not the case. And yet, there is medical cannabis is a growth industry in California right now. There are people making a lot of money at it, and that perception of financial opportunity, I think, is also driving the new dispensaries to open, especially in these areas where traditionally they've been less welcome. So the good news about this proliferation of dispensaries is that having new dispensaries open, over 200 and growing here in California, remember those are only the 219 that we know about. There are plenty more that we don't know about yet. This means that we're taking medical cannabis and Proposition 215 and making it a reality every single day in the lives of tens of thousands of patients. That's no small thing. California's medical cannabis law is not theoretical or hypothetical. It's real every day in the patient's lives. And that's something to be proud of, and it's something to strive for in the other states. I know we're seeing inklings of that all up and down the West Coast and Colorado and even on the East Coast now. And I think it's a trend we should encourage and support, because those new dispensaries in the other states are going to bring that same safe access and that same reality to those patients. And they're going to take the heat off California, and we could really use that. Now, the bad news about this proliferation of dispensaries is that as the number of dispensaries grows, the challenges facing the local communities, the city councils and the boards of supervisors, are also going to grow. And with the proliferation of dispensaries comes a proliferation of non-compliant and perhaps less desirable dispensaries as well. Sometimes this is the result of ignorance about how best to operate, and sometimes just carelessness. But locals, cities, and counties are now dealing with the issue of how to regulate their dispensing collectives and cooperatives. And they're not going to get any leadership from Sacramento on this issue. And so city by city and county by county, we're going to have to sort that out in a way that's relevant for those communities, that respects the values of those communities, and hopefully in a way that actually protects the patients as well as the neighborhoods in dealing with medical cannabis. The problem with dispensaries that are raising concerns and generating controversy in their community isn't just for the immediate neighbors. The perception that dispensaries are problematic and that they bring criminal activity and nuisance behavior into neighborhoods jeopardizes the credibility of our medical cannabis movement here in California. And it's very, very important for these dispensaries to be good neighbors and good citizens in their communities so that we can facilitate this growth and safe access. The concern that local governments have when I talk to them, the city councils and the boards of supervisors, are not about the big issues. They're not concerned about the Supreme Court case. They're curious, but they're not really hung up on it. They're not concerned about federal law and the larger issues of ethics or morals around self-medication. They're worried about smoking outside. They're worried about litter and graffiti and parking and the other kind of nuisance activities that cause their constituents to call and complain about medical cannabis dispensaries. And what we need to focus on in regulation, I think, is the nuts and bolts operation that is going to make these dispensaries good neighbors and be sure to protect that safe access.
That was Don Duncan from Americans for Safe Access. More info on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Now it's time for some stash music with Government Mule from the Hempilation album. This from Hempilation 2. You'll find a Government Mule track on Hempilation 1 and 2. Links to those albums right on our website, normalaudiostash.com. 2 album. Also feature PodSafe independent artists in the program frequently. Next, it's time to start our weekly web polling. Vote now at normalaudiostash.com. It's time to kick off our weekly web polling, and thanks again to everybody who's been voting out there. The response has just been awesome. All your comments are too cool. We are compiling them as we speak to do a special segment later in the week about it. So listen up. We might read some of your comments here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. That'll be coming up Friday. But today, our weekly web poll today, do you like the smell of pot smoke? They're coming up with strains of odorless marijuana, so we'll have a choice here in the future. So do you like the smell, or would you rather have odorless cannabis for your enjoyment or medical use out there? Vote up at normalaudiostash.com. Now, personally, I really enjoy this smell. I think it's a wonderful natural perfume, both comforting and pleasurable, really. It's a wonderful scent to me, and I can't imagine smoking marijuana without that wonderful odor there, but maybe you'd like some odorless cannabis. Vote on our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you vote on Tuesdays, you're automatically entered into our next up free stuff giveaway today, so cast your vote today at normalaudiostash.com. And thanks to everyone again who's been voting out there. It's time for our free stuff giveaway today, where we share the love here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Thanks to everyone who's sent in your entries. And if you haven't won yet, keep sending in those entries. We do this every Tuesday at least. This week, we are giving away a copy of the Hempilation 2 album. This CD can be yours. All you have to do is send in your entry to freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. That's freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. Must be received by midnight East Coast time today on June 27th. That's what you got to do, or vote in our weekly web poll. Just go on up to the website, normalaudiostash.com, and vote in our weekly web poll, and you could be a winner today here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, sharing the love with this CD copy of the Hempilation 2 album. We'll send it right to you. Just send an email to us at freestuff@normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Dr. Stephen Karsh, Don Duncan, Paul Armentano, and Congressman Maurice Hinchey for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great PodSafe music. We feature Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more details on every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. you enjoyed this show today, consider casting a vote at podcastalley.com. I'm Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.